call the meeting to order. Early Childhood Learning Finance Committee. And we need the minutes approved. Representative Eastland moves approval of the minutes. Any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, the minutes are passed for February 27th. And Representative Dominguez, are you ready to present your bill?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you.
Welcome to the committee. If you could state your name for the record and proceed to tell us about your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members, for staying on today for this bill here and the other one you're going to be hearing. It's really storming out there. So real quickly, I had some testifiers here. Of course, they couldn't make it, so you have the bill in front of you. I do believe we could either read it, take time to discuss this bill, but basically this is a basic adult education program that provides economic instructions to individuals that want to get their GED and to move forward in their lives. This bill is necessary because I think that we have a lot of young adults that may not have their diplomas today that want to go and get their GEDs or diplomas from their regular schools. And this will help them be constructive citizens, folks that are going to be taxpaying citizens, folks that are going to have good jobs. As you know, you cannot get a good job if you don't have a GED or a diploma or something that's going to instruct you to have a better life. And so I bring this bill to you because I solely believe that in my community, which is Hennepin County, we have a lot of individuals that really need this instruction of a GED or a diploma. So again, I'm not going to keep much time. It's right in front of you. I hope you will consider it as a layover bill for the omnibus bill. So I really appreciate your support. If there's any questions of the committee, I'd be happy to answer those questions.
Thank you, Representative Dominguez. First of all, we need to move the bill. So the chair moves House File 809 for a possible inclusion in omnibus early childhood finance learning committee bill. And then we have a question from Representative Eastland. Representative Eastland?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Dominguez, could you tell us or tell me, we've got numbers in here about what's happening in 2007 and what kind of increase is this to the current spending in adult basic education? And then does this dollar amount, does it go onto the base? Does it continue on, or is this just a one time shot? Or what can you tell me about that?
Madam Chair, Representative Eastland, I would like to turn that over to the House Research to give you that information because I don't have that.
Ms. Lemire, or fiscal analyst, Ms. Adrians.
Representative Eastland, are you looking at the fiscal note?
Actually, I was just looking at the bill now. I haven't gotten any questions. I was just trying to, if somebody could tell me in just simple terms, you know, how much new money is this? What is this doing over what we currently have in law? Just kind of like,
it's
ongoing.
Ms. Adrians?
We're talking about House File 169, right?
No, we're on House File 809.
Okay. I'm sorry.
We have looked at the same.
Okay. I think
that's why I was confused. I did put together an estimated fiscal impact sheet, so you should have that in front of you. They just made copies, and it's just a small chart. It looks like this one. And did you get it as well?
Yeah, I got it. Thank you.
And so this is an initial estimation of the fiscal impact, and it's similar to, we've seen some other adult basic education bills, but this one increases it, and again, I did my numbers in terms of appropriations, so this is reflective of that 90-10 split that we talked about before, and so it would increase it by about $32 million in 2008, and then $37 million in 2009, and $38 million, and then $39 million in 2011.
Representative Eastland?
Okay, then my question is how many, based on our current delivery of ABE services, how many more people would this funding allow to receive ABE services?
Ms. Adrians?
You know, in terms of numbers, I'm not sure. But I can speak with the departments and try to get back to you on that.
I would like to. Is there anybody in the audience that might be able to answer that? No, there's a couple of... No? Okay. Representative Ward?
When we were at the center, Hub Center, mm-hmm. I thought they talked about having waiting lists of people that wanted to do the GED, and this would help get everybody off of the waiting list, as I recall. And they didn't talk about specific numbers, but I know that they talked about this would really help for people not to have to wait to get the GED. It would be taken care of immediately. That's what I recall.
Hey, Representative Eastland, I think this is what we call the supersize bill. This is the big version.
That was my point. It's just when you look at what we're currently spending on ABE and what we're increasing it by, it's like pretty soon the question is what capacity does the system have to grow this much this fast? I don't know. There might be people out there, but I mean it takes time to grow. This is almost a doubling of the funding, and to me that just seems like it might be too much too fast. I don't know.
Well, Representative Eastland, I think it's a good comment. I just want to make a comment and then ask Representative Dominguez if he has anything else, if there's any other questions. But what you're going to see as we're rolling things into the omnibus bill is from sort of what we would consider sort of a regular increase to big increases in most of ours, and different authors, depending on their needs of their community, might have some of those bigger increases. Know that now with the February forecast in place, we have to look at all the options, but it becomes more difficult at this point. But we wanted to make sure we had it as an option, and that Representative Dominguez's bill was on the included as an option we could look at.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and that's so true. Representative Ward made a comment about the doubling the size of the students, and we do have a large waiting list that could really participate in this program, and that's what we're working on, trying to get those folks aboard to get their GEDs or diplomas again. So it's a step forward, and Representative Eastman, we're willing to work on this. This is the one step, you know, that we want to take, and then we'll work on the outcomes and the plans to this bill. So hopefully you will support it.
Representative Bryan?
Thank you, Madam Chair. We also heard testimony when we were at the House Center about to the capacity issue, that they would have the ability to have more classes, I mean, to meet more often. They have the teachers who would be willing to do that already, and being able to expand the program in language as well as GED, because I think people are wanting to get ready to take the GED and they need some language instruction. So my sense was that the capacity was there, that they just didn't have the money to make it work.
Yeah, Madam Chair.
Representative,
I mean, I don't disagree with that at the Hub Center, but that was one center.
Well,
we have ABE in my district, and I met with those people, and there's no way that we need to double our capacity. So, I mean, that's just kind of, I think, the contrast of the different areas. So I'm fine. I understand the bill of process.
Okay.
Representative Eastland. Representative Dominguez, any closing comments?
Not really, Madam Chair, but I just want to say thank you for giving me the opportunity to present the bill to the committee, and thank you, members. And again, hopefully that you will support this very important adult basic education bill. Work with us so we can refine this to the best of our knowledge as far as our basic education. Again, I apologize for those that didn't show up, because I really wanted to show up to testify, so maybe we'll get another chance to do that. Thank you, members.
Thank you, and House File 809 is going to be considered for inclusion in the Omnibus Early Childhood Finance Learning Omnibus Bill. So thank you. With that, we're going to go on to House File 169, and Representative Bly will be chairing. I know several of you have a committee starting at 4:30, so we do have an incentive to move through this.
Representative Slawik, would you like to move your bill?
Yes, Mr. Chair and committee members, I'd move House File 169 for possible inclusion in the Omnibus Early Childhood Learning Finance Committee.
And do you have any amendments?
Yes, I do. H016984. Mr. Chair and members, I...
A5. 169A5, is that correct?
Yeah.
I'm being told by...
Mine says H4, so I must have an outdated one. So yours, yes, it would be the A5. I'd like to move that, Mr. Chair.
Okay. All right, so moved. Any discussion? Seeing none, we'll move the bill, or move the amendment. Pardon? Sure. Oh, yeah. You know, I apologize, but at different times I'm told we're some we vote on, some we don't, and I was confused there for a moment. So thank you, Representative Garofalo. So, yes, you may vote on it. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. Okay, then. Go ahead and present.
Sure. For the benefit, it is confusing, but I know in other committees sometimes if the author brings the amendment, it's just incorporated as an author's amendment.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Thank you. You may go ahead.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. This bill had a pretty thorough airing in the E-12 committee. Where this bill comes from, it's one of those I've submitted year after year and never had a good hearing on, so now this year this is my second hearing, so we're learning a lot as we go through the process. As in early childhood, as we look around the country and see kind of what's happening in the movement, we see different states setting up different governance structures. I had looked carefully at several of them last year. There was an NCSL conference where Representative Gunther, Sikora, Senator Clark, and myself, and Randy Demmer also went to Representative Demmer. And we looked at the different structures, and this is one of those that was used primarily in Arizona by their the governor there and what they had set up for their early childhood system to operate under. As we know, one of the big issues in our arena is that the Department of Education and the Department of Health and Human Services kind of have half of our counts each, and they don't work well with each other. So what this would do would form a board, which would be an early childhood advisory board, where it would allow folks to come together at one point to talk about early childhood issues. Basically, the amendment kind of shows some of the changes, and I do not have a copy of the bill, so I've asked for a copy of the bill. Yeah, I need the whole bill to talk about that. The amendment addresses some of, thank you, the concerns from the last committee. It would be a 12-member advisory board. And then you see the boards and board and their terms. And specifically, you can see on the amended version some of the folks that were added to this. One of the members, they wanted a parent of a child currently enrolled in an early care and education program, who is a licensed professional that provides student support services. There was a concern about not having that person on the board right now, putting that person on the board, and one of whom is currently practicing as an early childhood educator. We also added one of whom is a MELF board of directors. It also talks about who is going to appoint the board of directors. In some states, it's kind of considered political that they're governor appointees. There was a feeling here that it might be better if it was the speaker, the majority leader. I think is it and the governor doing that together? Just the two? Okay, they will appoint the members. So we have changed that part of it. And then there were some concerns about how do you really look at early childhood policies and making them be family friendly. And so in the lines of the amendment 1.13 through 1.20, it takes the family impact studies and what the University of Wisconsin has done, where you're running policies through kind of a screening system to see how they do affect families. And that inserts that language in there, and then also talks about a report back out. And I think members, you know, really the purpose in this is to say overall it would be good to have, look at governance structures and possibly include them in our omnibus bill. I don't know if Minnesota's ready for that just yet, but it seems if we're ever going to come out with a good system, we need to have our Department of Education and our Department of Human Services and our advocacy folks and our parents and our legislators all talking together. And this would be a place where they could come together, try make some strategic direction to the legislature and for the early childhood system. And we also, I would say, Mr. Chair, there was a submitted testimony by Ready for K. They were not able to make it because of the weather today. And at the E12 committee, we also had Arthur Reynolds from the University of Minnesota testify in favor of that. And he, his children's programs were canceled, so he was not able to be there today. But I think because you all are pretty familiar with this area, I was hoping we could take a look at it. And again, it would just be part of the package we consider.
All right. Thank you. Are there any questions, members?
I just see the number five here, improving the wages, benefits, and supply of early childhood professionals is one of the points in here. And I'm very much in favor of that. I think that's very necessary, and I applaud you for bringing this forward.
Thank you. Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a comment. I think this is a wonderful bill. Having worked even on some bills where I'm dealing with the Department of Human Services and then others where I'm dealing with the Department of Ed, and having two different groups to talk with and work with and different criteria and different programs, there and I think probably most of them pretty compatible, but also some overlap and duplication. And I think we are due for some not only efficiencies, but I think better coordination. And this would allow at least the beginning of that kind of dialogue.
Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Kranz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a question for the author. I'm not sure or as familiar as this with this bill as you are, but could you explain to me where the licensed family daycares would wage in on this advisory group? I know that in my area I have a lot of licensed family daycares, and some of their concerns are that as we move forward in this area, that a true, you know, real position that they face won't be represented on this committee. So I guess I'm wondering if the author would consider maybe a family licensed daycare provider on this group as well, because they're different than the centers and they're different than the health. I mean, or maybe I'm just missing it, that there is a spot for them to be on that board, but I'd like to maybe have you consider that.
Mr. Chair, I think that's a good suggestion. We have two positions that are still open that are not classified, and so that potentially could be one of those, but we could also, you know, I'd be willing to work that into the bill and add that, because I think you're right that that's an area, particularly with quality, we're really looking at how to get a handle on quality, and we know that a lot of our child care services are provided by family child care providers. And that by having a voice on this board, you know, maybe it would ever better help all of us understand the issues for those providers and for those families.
Yeah. Thank you. Go ahead.
Just a follow-up. I appreciate that, and I don't necessarily think that I need to make a formal amendment at this time. I feel like we can work on this, but I think there's a lot of family-licensed daycare providers that, you know, maybe aren't as comfortable having the Department of Education or the Department of Human Services speak on their behalf, because, you know, their world is maybe a little different than what the perception is. So I guess I'm thankful of that, and I look forward to working with you on that.
Representative Kranz and members, I had the opportunity to meet with several family-licensed child care providers in Scott County in my district, and they expressed a lot of those concerns. I think they'd be very happy with this kind of representation and would have a lot to bring to it. I was impressed with some of the conversation they had about an association they work with in the county and how they are concerned about quality and having some kind of curriculum as well. So I think it's a very good point. Representative Eastland.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ditto that also. I think from anybody that's from a more rural area, we have a lot more family, friend, and neighbor daycare things, and I think they need to weigh in on this stuff as well. I was just reading through the bill, and I guess I'm wondering if you could help me understand on page 2, I think it's line 32, it says one of the things that the board is going to make recommendations about, and it's in that number 3 down there, starting in line 31, it lists a number of things, and then it says behavioral health. Mm-hmm. And what is behavioral health? I mean, it seems like that's a pretty wide open term. When you look at the rest of them there, you know, we're talking about a healthcare component. I think we know that's what that is. We're including medical homes. We're talking about parent education. We're talking about family support. We're talking about early education, early childhood programs, and then we have behavioral health. And I'm not sure I understand what behavioral health is.
Mr. Chair and Representative Eastland, that is included there specifically. I mean, we've been hearing this week about testing and early testing programs, and that often either everything from hearing to vision to behaviors are caught in that type of a program, that it's important that when we're looking at child, we look at the whole child and what is happening there. I know that it has brought to my attention that this is an issue for some of the members and some of the groups. And the Senate has deleted that.
I was aware. Yeah, I looked at the Senate.
Out of their version.
That's not in there.
So we are willing to, you know, work with the Senate and see if we need to have that out of there. It's in my mind, you know, when we're looking and a lot of what we look at, it is a grayer area in terms of social emotional health and behavior health, and what the role of the family versus the role of the state is, but where the state gets involved. If a family has a child that needs special education services, they get them, and they get them free from the state of Minnesota by the Constitution, and part of what is that role is looking at assessing behaviors among children. And that's part of how kids get into the services that they need, into special education. And, of course, parents are there every step of the way. You know, if no child is getting services without, they might have a recommendation to see an eye doctor or an ear doctor or be tested in some behaviors, but the parents make the ultimate decision about what's going to happen with their kids. And I think this is, in this board, it's to talk about how those types of issues are handled. I mean, as you know, and what we hear from our testifiers is, there is this proliferation, whether good or bad, they're called psychotropic drugs and things that are being prescribed for young children. So I think that to leave that out of something like this would be a mistake, because we need to look at a whole child and what is happening with the whole child. It's a tiny piece of the bill. We can negotiate about that and what that means. As you know, current law, a lot of these issues are there, and they're testing for them right now. I don't see it extending anything beyond the current scope of law. It would be just taking the current scope and working with it.
Representative Eastland.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, just a brief follow-up. And I don't disagree with what you're saying there. I guess my question is just the term behavioral health. I mean, you listed a number of things that you thought that included, and I guess I just think that would be some maybe something that would help I think clarify what this line means, if there was some kind of a more concise identification of what the, because I think, you know, it's kind of a wide open thing, and it gets into the our behaviors, just physical behaviors. Are we going to start to determine what an emotionally stable child is and what one isn't, and we're going to be looking at all kinds of it's an area that I just know that there's people that have concerns about it, and if there was a way we could clean that up so it was a little more specific rather than use that broad of a term, which I don't think is very well defined, just myself either, as I thought about it. You could go on a lot of different directions with that. Mm-hmm. I think it would really help the bill.
Thank you, Representative Eastland. Representative Slavik.
Well, I think that's it's a good suggestion. And I tell you, it is something we're struggling with, I think, in this committee in general. And I think it's, my latest, version is, it's okay to struggle. And it's okay to have tension. And it's okay for us to say we need to work on it. And I think we do. But I'm not quite willing to delete it at this point. But I am willing to try to define it more so that it is in line with current law, and so that it's not sort of expanding the scope or going anywhere we haven't gone before.
And the fact, Representative Slavik, is it the case that the board dealing with that particular issue doesn't necessarily mean it's interpreted in stone by in one way or another? I mean, it might be good for them to talk about it. Is that
right? This is really just like all boards, they're looking at the overall policy.
They could explore some of your concerns, Representative Eastland. staff person Lisa Larson, I think, did you have a comment that you wanted to make about?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Slawick, a suggestion to throw into this mix with respect to Representative Eastland's comments might be to say, instead of behavioral health, developmental health, consistent with Section 121A17, which is our developmental screening law, because the developmental screening law specifically names certain components similar to ones that you listed earlier in your testimony. It's just a suggestion.
Before you do that, can I just make a comment?
Yes, yes. Representative Lane has to leave, so I want to make sure she gets a chance.
I just wanted to say that if you don't have this here, how could they, as an advisory board, discuss if there was an overuse of psychotropic medication, how could they discuss it if it wasn't part of the purview? You don't want to eliminate that aspect of the whole child from the discussion.
Okay. I believe Representative Peterson was next.
Mr. Chair, I just wanted to add that I think the behavioral health piece, no matter how it's worded, is important. And I'm going to allude to that summer practice with three-year-old special education students who had been identified by parents, I might add, who wanted those kinds of services. And I also had several letters today, actually, from parents with autistic children. And one was a year and a half, and talking about the need for those kinds of services. And I think, when you're discussing this whole early childhood area, you really have to be able to discuss some of those issues and how as a school system or a state, you're going to respond to the needs of those kinds of behavioral issues early on.
Representative Slavik, did you have any response to that? Representative Murphy?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And not to, belabor the point, I understand that there are some concerns about this language, and you can hear them, sort of around the periphery. And I do think that if we want to contemplate it, we should have maybe a work group or some way to look at what the research is and the data is. And I think I'm hearing Chair Slawick talk about doing that, which I just want to say I would support, rather than just tossing it out, figuring out how to make sure that we're addressing what we know is, a body of science, and that we're incorporating that into our work. Thank you.
Representative Gottwald.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. People on this committee know that I've had an ongoing passion, advocacy for parental engagement, parental involvement, parents first, especially in early childhood, that the home is really the place for. So when I see large new commissions being created, we've had some discussion about this, I think, Representative Slawick. One thing I'm wondering if we can do as a friendly amendment or something to work on the go forward is the membership of the board. I'm willing to concede this is going to go forward requesting the board, but I wonder if we could have some component, and I'm not married to which organization. I'm not here representing any special interest other than I think parents need to be part of anything we do with early childhood. And it would be great to have that represented as a conscious component of this board. I don't think that would water down or hurt any element of this. I think it would strengthen it. And if there is some language or some way we could represent that in here so that there is some representation from parents. So that as the perspectives of the scientists and the educators come forward, there's at least that piece saying, okay, but remember we're, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, you may have come in after the amendment was read, but there is a provision to add a parent to the board.
Well, I apologize for that. Easy weather today. So there is a provision to
add. Yes, there is.
Get the A4 amendment? Yeah, it's right on the line.
Excellent.
1-2.
See, I've just wasted everybody else's time. I apologize. Thank you.
Hey, Representative Slavik, do you have anything else you'd like to add?
Well, in closing, I think we in this committee are going to be looking at a number of things. I think that this could be a really important step. I think that we don't just form boards. This is about forming a board, but, you know, this is about leadership. You know, what I really want is that at the staff level or somebody has the ability to knock heads and make these guys work together. You know, and in our conference in West Virginia, they said that's what they had to do. You know, they just told the Care Department of Education, Department of Human Services had problems. They made them work together, and then somebody made the decision. Right now, I don't think there's any department people in the room. I guess there's one. They're kind of working in silos, and nobody is, we don't have the ability to intervene there, and the people that do aren't making it happen. So I think this could make that a place where we could start to say we really need to work better together for the kids. And I'll just take a minute and give one comment because I know this is the last bill. But, I had a three-year-old. My three-year-old was in a program and was basically, we were called to the school to say something is going on. He had a dress on, this little sweater and his khaki pants every day, mm-hmm. and come in and shake the teacher's hand, and it was a Montessori program, and do his thing. Well, he couldn't, like, shake his hand and go over and do his thing. He was all over the place. And they said, we want to... So with so much contention, they said, we'd like to do... Have you talked to your public school system? And I said, no. I didn't know I was supposed to talk to my public school system. So I called the public school system, and they said they wanted to do an observation. They went out, and apparently what he was doing, because he couldn't communicate, he had communications issues, he was hiding under the table most of the time. You know, and he didn't know what to do. And, you know, for them to not just point blank tell me that, but also it took, you know, that kind of an intervention. And as parent, I was like, oh, my gosh, you know, if I knew this was happening. And he was placed in special ed, and, you know, he's a sophomore in high school now, and he's doing a lot better. You know, and hopefully he's going to be able to go to college. But some of these kids, especially when they're firstborn, people don't, you know, it's like, what is happening with them? Cute kid, you know, it looks just like everybody else, but obviously had some issues. So I think when we talk about behavioral stuff, I mean, I've had personal experience with the behavioral stuff where, you know, it did, I guess, need what we call it an intervention, and it was very successful. You know, he was mainstreamed by the next year. We went to ECSE. I mean, I could go on and on, and we had court-ordered families in ECSE. I mean, so I've had a lot of these experiences that we all talk about, and that doesn't That is part of what drives me, you know, is my son's not the only little boy out there or little girl out there that's having problems. And sometimes it takes the public schools to kind of step in and say, you know, this is what a three-year-old is supposed to act like. And, you know, he'd been in daycare and stuff and at family daycare, and they just didn't pick up that stuff. I'm thinking, why, you know? And as parents, he seems, you know, somewhat normal. So anyway, he's a wonderful kid, and I hope that we can look at all kids. I'm kidding. I appreciate your considerations, Bill. You know, honestly, I'm not sure how much of this will go in our omnibus bill because we've got a bunch of other things to do in our omnibus bill, but I do hope the committee will consider to put part of it in there, some kind of a structure or maybe some kind of a pilot structure that we could start to work with around getting our departments to work together, and getting parents and everybody just on the same page. So that's my closing comment.
Okay, thank you. I think Representative Cotwell, did you have a question? Okay, Representative Eastland.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just was kind of looking at Ms. Larson's suggestion. You know, I mean, that could be a really kind of a clean way to do it. That would, because we would be just referencing, we'd be referencing statute to our screening law right now, which does cover a lot of developmental stuff. And it does have in it some, you know, some of the parental consent concerns and all that kind of stuff. So we'd be kind of referencing that statute. I mean, to me, that might be a way to clean it up and kind of really mitigate some of the concerns that are out there.
Do you want to move that?
I would move that. Ms. Larson, would you kind of tell what the amendment should be?
Mr. Chairman, members, on House File 169, the first engrossment, page 2, line 32, delete behavioral, insert developmental, and after health, insert consistent with section 121A.17.
Yeah, I would move that if that's okay with
okay, you. Okay, so moved. And is there discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. So the amendment is approved.
Mr. Chair, I guess as long as we're doing this, Ms. Larson also had a recommendation to incorporate Representative Kranz's concerns. It would take down just a one open appointment, but do you want to read your suggestion for that and see how the committee feels about that?
Thank you, Representative Flowers. Mr. Chairman, members, on the amendment, the document H016985, page 1, line 4, after services, comma, insert, one of whom is a licensed family child care provider, comma.
And who is moving that? Was there a motion? You moved it? Okay. Any discussion? All of those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. Amendment accepted. And is there any other discussion? Any other questions? Seeing none, I'll move the bill for inclusion in the omnibus bill.
Thank you.
Okay. And I'll turn it over to our illustrious chair.
You can adjourn us?
Oh, okay. All right. Any other discussion? No, I'll adjourn the committee.